On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Jules. Welcome to the program. A special guest on the show today, Mark Schipetta. He's been on the program before. He's an ice cream vendor in New Zealand. And he's joining us live. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm fine, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure being had here, Mark.
It's always a pleasure to be had.
Mark is a private investigator, a PI for short, the acronym. He is also a media mogul. He's on television, radio. He does public appearances, sometimes in private. He also he lectures. He puts together event entertainment programs, some very successful comedy extravaganzas, et cetera, for corporations. He cleans toilet bowls on the side.
I do, on the weekends in my house.
Who doesn't?
Yes, the kids, you know, they don't know how to pee in the toilet the right way.
Is there a right way to pee in the toilet?
At 3 a.m, I guess, when your eyes are all, you know, kind of hazed over and...
Purple haze.
Yes. You know, thank God there's a wall there, though, to lean against when you pee in the middle of the night.
Oh, you have
imagine
a wall.
If the toilet was like in the center of the bathroom.
Yeah, kind of know, I guess.
Actually, what would you do?
I saw in Shark Tank another product where you lift up the lid in it's for people that go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, like us.
Yes.
You lift up the lid and a light comes on and it lights up the water in the bowl so that when you're standing up, you can actually... See, so it doesn't light up the room and you can't go back to sleep. It just lights up the water in the toilet. But the interesting
part
of it is that you could set the various colors.
I did see that. That was on Shark Tank?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because that's, they run commercials now for that.
Yeah.
And I'm always
doing well.
I'm still, you know, I'm not drawn into the... You know, to the car commercials. Or, I mean, a lot of us don't even watch commercials anymore because we tape everything. We forward through the commercials.
Pretty much.
But often I'm drawn into the dumb commercials because that's usually what kind of sucks me in. But I was thinking of that. So, I mean, depends. You could change the color on your bowl, you know, given the season. Like, you know, during the holidays, you could have red and green.
Yes.
And maybe in the fall you have an orange bowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to kind of...
Orange bowl would be a football game.
Right. During Easter, maybe you have pink or, you know, some pastel-y colors, some for flowers. And, you know, I mean...
Lovely. A lovely pee I had today.
Well, I'm sitting here, and we got to get this guy on for our next our next interviews. We're Ron and I, before we went on the air, were talking about just missed opportunities in life, and I certainly have plenty of them because I think all of us out there see an idea on TV or we hear of an idea or something pops up on our news feed, and you say, "Oh shoot, you know what? I thought of that also."
We all have missed opportunities.
Right. People, it's those that have the gumption. To take that risk in life.
Correct.
And actually, you know,
also the money.
See it through in the money.
And the money. And the aggression and the balls.
Yes, and the balls.
Mark actually came up a couple of years ago with a product that we have since seen on the internet and in other locations, but Mark actually had the idea before anybody had heard of it. And nobody stole it because he didn't tell anybody but myself.
Yes.
And this is a filtered underpants. And you're probably saying, ooh, this is a great idea. Yeah, actually, when you it actually has fragrances that you can set and it filters your gastric stuff.
But look at this one right here. This is genius. And this is along the lines of what's we're kind of in a what's the word I'm looking for? Gosh, I'm never lost for words.
Yeah,
but
I know, this is strange.
But bacon has made a resurgence.
Yes, it
everyone has. Loves bacon. Correct. Bacon is all over the place
as
now.
As bad as it is for you, yes.
Bacon, everything. Now, yes. I'm looking here, bacon-scented underwear for men.
Oh, my God.
Imagine that. You pass wind, you rip one, and it's just smells like bacon.
It's just breakfast.
We got to interview this guy. Like, I mean, that's genius.
It is genius. I don't know how well he's doing.
Yes.
See, these are novelty gifts, I think.
Yeah, but people buy, I buy more novelty crap.
Yeah, that's true.
That's no good. I mean, I was telling you earlier, I bought these dog collars for my two puppies that light up in the middle of the night. So now I can see them in the back. When I let them out to pee in the middle of the night, because we have a fenced-in backyard, all I see is the collars running around. And they look like glow sticks.
That's pretty.
Right. And you know, everyone's really in on the whole cell phone charger thing. That's the greatest mystery and the greatest thing that, you know, people need to solve is cell phone chargers.
True.
How many times God forbid your cell phone charger dies and you're driving and you look for a 7-Eleven or a convenience store and you're running in and you're buying a cell phone charger.
Well, excuse me, can't you like plug it into your car and charge your cell phone in your car?
Yeah, I'm talking the wire. Like the wire.
Oh, the wire.
And you put the wire on there and it goes boop 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 boop.
Right.
You know, and there's like a the wires
you have
in
a
the
bad wire.
Yeah, the wires in that they're shorting out or whatever.
Just buying like another one.
I know, but how many times does that happen when your phone's on like 14% and you're driving?
A lot.
You know, so you impulsively stop in a store.
Yeah.
And you buy another crappy one, and they only last for like...
Well, because you're buying the crappy ones.
But I bought the ones that are supposed to last a lifetime.
Yeah, no. Well, that's because they thought you were going to die soon.
Right. It's almost like the mattresses. Lifetime warranty on this mattress.
I know.
Well, what happens when everyone has that mattress? They're never going to be able to sell a mattress again because they last forever.
Yes. Well, technically, but you just... they assume you're not going to tell the other person you had a lifetime warranty.
Right.
I just turn the thing over. I'm sorry.
Right?
I just turn it over. I don't buy it.
But don't you like that? And you know who's all over the meat, all over the news now? I actually saw one. And my wife, Janeth, gives me a hard time because I am so drawn to the As Seen on TV section everywhere
I go. I go there no matter... All the drugstores have them. Sorry, not the pharmacies. I'm sorry,
yes.
The drugstores.
Yeah.
And Walmart has them and stuff. Yes, I spend a lot of time there. Yeah,
but
I wait until they get into the store. I don't buy them online because they hawk you for other stuff. I wait till they're in the stores, and they all get there eventually.
You know what I got at the As Seen on TV section, and I use all the time? Flex Seal.
Oh, yes.
Like, I use that for everything. If I see an opportunity to seal something, I just do it just to seal it.
Yes, it's a good point.
It's
and if you're married, you know where that goes.
I was thinking of, you know.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Right. Can I just seal you up a little bit?
Just a little bit. Not all the way. Just a little bit.
Back to like 17 years old.
Right. That kind of seal.
Like, I was even thinking of getting a wooden rowboat and popping a hole underneath it and then sealing it just to see if it sinks or not.
Yeah, that's incredible stuff.
They get me hooked. And now I want to go out and get the perfect freaking pillow.
Yes,
because that's,
I have one,
do
by
you?
The way. Yes, it's MyPillow.
Right.
.com.
Right, MyPillow. Yes,
and in the stores, on the As Seen section, it's like $50.
Yeah.
Online, it's like $40 and you get two for...
Really?
Yes. Right. It really is an excellent pillow.
I saw
one. But it doesn't
one.
Last forever.
I saw one in Bed Bath. Bed Bath & Beyond must have a contract with them.
Yes.
And I felt it, and it felt like it had like a lot of little balls in it or something.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's cooler than a regular pillow, and it does mold itself to your head, and it's really not so bad.
See, it's not
like
the damn pillow; it's the guy on the commercial that sells the pillow.
They should. He was the creator, but he's not the best guy to sell it. They should have some really handsome guy that you would really want to sleep with.
Right.
I mean, not us, but
right.
You know, other people or some lady.
I watched a show. Oh, what the hell is the name of it? I watched a movie a couple of weeks ago. My wife gives me a hard time because she's like, God, you just picked the worst movies. And it was called, it was a first name of a movie. It was just
Marty?
It was like Jan or something.
Popeye?
But yeah. But the movie was about the struggling single mother that came up with the idea of the Miracle Mop.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that movie?
Joy.
Yeah. Oh, I should know that. I have a sister named Joy.
Yeah.
So, and
it was a great movie.
It was a great movie. Yeah. And she...
She didn't like it?
No.
Whoa.
I don't know. I thought it was
a wonderful movie.
I thought it was a great movie.
It's kind of fun, actually.
Right. And Bradley Cooper was in
it. Yes.
And the fact that, you know, they originally, she hounded the, and she hit the market at the right time. She hit the, right when the home shopping boom was coming.
It's part of the deal.
So she came up with the patent, she comes up with this mop, and then they wanted to throw some schmuck up there to try to sell it for her.
Right.
And she's sitting at home, and the phones weren't ringing.
Right.
And then she said, I'm going on there with a white blouse, and I look kind of hot, and I'm going to go up there. Yeah. And we're talking... Now, this chick's still alive because I Wikipedia'd her like I Wikipedia everyone.
Oh, she's still on the thing.
Yeah. She's got other products.
Yes. She's turned it into an empire.
Like, are you shitting me?
I know, but she had something that a lot of people don't have, and that's balls.
Right.
She was a woman with balls.
But she have sweaty balls?
I think so. I think that was one of her products.
This is the sweaty ball season.
This is very much so.
That pops up on social media every year this time. You know what I'm referring to?
Sure, I am. I do. I mean, not that I am. I do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more program.
All right.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Debbie Ezra joins us now. She's co-founder of Gemological Science International. How are you, Debbie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great. We're talking about buying diamonds, which scares me because that means commitment. Mark Schipetta joins us as well. He will also be talking to you today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, fortunately, unfortunately, I think I've bought a total of like 4 diamond rings in my life.
Oh, that's very good then. That's not bad. However, I don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to buying diamonds, and this is a time of year that a lot of people do that, of course, because of the holidays and Valentine's Day coming up. What are some tips that I need to know?
Sure. Well, there are a lot of important things to consider when buying the diamond, but I would say 2 things that you must keep in mind are, number 1, love the diamonds or jewelry that you're considering to buy. Make a connection with it. You know, believe it or not, they say a diamond should speak to you. And then 2, you want to take your budget into consideration. Now, you don't have to break the bank to buy a diamond, but it is important to remember that the pricing of the diamonds is based on the 4 C's, which are the color, clarity, cut, and carat weight of the diamonds. So the 4 C's should be determined by a reputable gem lab like GSI, so you can make sure that you're getting what you're paying for.
Okay. All right. But I need like an expert, though, to guide me, even though you're telling me what to do, I think.
So guidance as far as
because I'd be looking at a diamond, and I hear what you're saying, but I don't know if I'd be able to translate it into what I'm actually looking at.
Sure. Well, that's why a grading report is very important. Because the grading report is going to provide you with all that vital information that you're going to need to make the informed decision. And ultimately, the pricing is going to be based on these things. So the grading report will tell you if the diamond is natural or if it's lab grown, if it's been treated. It'll give you the 4 C's information. So really, all of this is key in making an informed decision. hands. It's also going to give you peace of mind.
What about now? I just purchased, well, I shouldn't say purchased. I put a down payment, and I have to actually pay it off, some diamond earrings for my wife for Christmas this year. Now, I have a jeweler that I know and I trust, and he's been my jeweler for 20-something years now. Is that a key, I guess, to when it comes to this? Should you put your trust in your jeweler, or should you still do your homework even though you know your jeweler?
You should definitely still do your homework. Although you may trust your jeweler, still insist on that grading report. Jewelers are experts in their field, but they don't have all the tools, equipment, and expertise that legitimate grading labs have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost kind of like buying a home. You know, you can, you know, kind of do your walkthrough, you see it, you like it, it's exactly what you're looking for, but would you really buy that home without having a thorough inspection right. done on it by an independent party?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No, you're exactly right. I just bought, I think, half a carat each ear, so maybe I'm going to have to go back to him and ask for that report.
Well,
definitely.
Maybe it's too late.
right. No, it's definitely, it's never too late.
Oh, really?
It's never too
oh.
late to go back and ask for a grading report.
Okay.
And you can also visit our website, gemscience.net, Ooh. If you want more information on how you can get your jewelry certified.
Now, do most jewelers have to be gemologists, or is that what you should look for when you look for a jeweler, or is that something that they have separately?
No, it's not something that you need to look for. Yeah, right. You know, again, jewelers know their area of the industry.
Yeah.
They know design. They know products, but you know, the experts are the gem labs. So that's why it's important to have that independent grading report.
It's very important because it's an item that you buy that you actually, many people have insurance on it. It's that consequential. So it's a very important purchase. What is it about the diamond in our society that makes that so special, makes you feel so good, makes you... You get a reaction from
Hollywood. Hollywood created this appeal, right?
Know.
Diamonds
what
are a girl's best friend.
What is it, Debbie?
Well, there are a lot of different trends out there today. A very common trend right now in all industries is actually doing good and giving back. And what most people don't know is diamonds actually do a lot of good. There are many countries in Africa where diamonds are mined, like Botswana and Namibia, that rely solely on the jobs provided by the natural diamond industry and the financing it brings to build schools and hospitals and provide healthcare and education. If we stopped mining diamonds in some of these countries, they wouldn't be able to survive. And on a personal note, I have the privilege to serve on the Jewelers for Children, which is a charity in our industry that to date has donated over $50 million to St. Jude's, Make-A-Wish, and many other charities that help children that are fighting life-threatening illnesses. So diamonds not only make you feel good, but they do a lot of good also.
There's a lot to it.
Yeah.
So where do we go? Where do we go for more information?
Sure. For more information, you can visit GSI's website at gemscience.net.
Excellent. Debbie, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me. Happy holidays.
Same to
yes.
you.
Yes, happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's interesting. Diamonds. I guess they're forever.
That diamonds are a girl's best friend. Is that like a Marilyn Monroe thing? Is that from a movie? What is it?
Yeah, I think it was from a movie. I can't remember what movie it was. I don't know.
God, the amount of money I've spent on diamonds, and you don't get them, you know, back. You're supposed to get them back if you break up, but you know, I mean, it's not worth it. It's just.
Well, you get the engagement gift back, but you don't get the wedding back. I don't believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been engaged.
Okay.
One, two, three, four times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that a lot in 47 years? Engaged four times. What's the average? What's the national average of engagements?
Probably two.
2.5.
2.5. Well, some of them didn't actually occur, though. I mean, so you were engaged, but they didn't come to fruition.
Don't you love those people that say, we're engaged, and then you just don't see a ring?
Yeah.
Are they smart?
No, I think that they just, they're making it up. That's wishful thinking for them.
You know, I have a pal I have a buddy that bought his, it's his ex-wife, but one of my close, dear friends actually gave his... former wife, a cubic zirconia, and she never knew.
Yeah, how would you?
Yeah,
unless
he revealed that to me later.
But maybe there's a diamond expert that will one day look at this lady's ring and go, you know, that's not real, don't you? And then, man, would she be pissed?
Right.
Oh, my God, she would be pissed.
And you look at the diamond rings from, you know, we live in such a gluttonous, big status world. And like you look at like my mother's diamond ring from when she got engaged in, you know, 1959, as opposed, you know, you see some older women that are in their, you know, 70s, 80s, even older, and their rings are like, you know, it's like a,
but you know, we do live in a status world. And I'll tell you something, if I see a gigantic diamond ring, I first of all, I think it's fake, and secondly, I say to myself, you phony, transparent person, you. I mean, and then you see these tiny little diamonds, like half carats, worn around the neck or whatever the case may be, and you go, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. The big gaudy things, I'm never into that.
One of my exes has the, you know, she had to have a big diamond.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what was the girl's name that we were just talking to?
Debbie.
Debbie. And Debbie was saying that, treated diamonds. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the jeweler, you know, had a treated diamond that came in. It was like 3.5 carats, but it was treated. So it wasn't worth crap.
Yeah.
But this girl wanted it. She didn't care.
Oh.
Because she, Max's mom.
Okay.
She said she would rather have the 3.5 carat diamond cost me this, you know, what, maybe 1 carat would have cost.
Yeah.
Because it was treated, because it looked big.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's the way people are brought up. Maybe if in their families everybody had that was so consequential to them, that's just the way they're brought up.
I never got it back. She agreed, you know, she agreed to...
Didn't try to pry it?
I've never tried to pry... No. I held her down, ripped it off the finger. Right.
While they're knocked out with the sleeping pills you gave
little
them.
A little Crisco on the finger to kind of twist it off.
Sure, that's what that's for.
Because most women, when they get their diamond engagement rings, you know, they're nice and thin, and then... By the time they
can't get it off anymore. That's why they get fat, so you can't get the ring off anymore.
Well, that kind of goes hand in hand. You can't get it off.
Right? It does.
It kind of goes at the same
time. It all works.
They kind of go,
That phrase just goes for everything.
Right.
It's not the case when you get married.
Like, I don't give a crap about, like, my, you know, I have a wedding band, but half the times I don't even have it on. My wife's like, where's your wedding band? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't wear any.
I hate jewelry.
Yeah.
I do this all the time. I have, like,
I like do that too.
Like my ring makes love to my finger all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's good practice.
You ever see that episode Everybody Loves Raymond where he's spinning his wedding band like on the table out with his buddies falls off the table and goes into the drain?
Oh,
yeah,
that can happen. Yeah,
because I do that all the time. How many times I can tell you how many times I'm sitting down at a table at a restaurant. And I just take my band off and I just start spinning it.
It's kind of, the whole thing with the wedding ring is kind of interesting because what you're really saying is I'm branded. I'm taken and I've been branded and these are my shackles.
It's like the clatter ring.
Yes.
Is it facing your heart or is it facing outside your heart?
It's a very odd symbol, to be honest with you, to show everybody that you are hooked up with something. It's kind of odd.
I wasn't even Irish growing up. I'm Italian, and I had a clatter ring in like 7th grade.
Yeah.
I wanted one so bad, so I got a clatter ring for like my birthday, and I felt the pressure of being able to turn the clatter ring around and have it face my heart, meaning I had a girlfriend.
You're not typical in many ways.
No.
But certainly not in that way. Women, spend their entire childhood making believe they're getting married, putting on a wedding dress.
I didn't do that.
And playing house. They play house. Guys don't play house. They don't. They play with the trucks and the cars and maybe a train or something. But the guys never play house. So it's just they're set up differently. And that really hasn't changed, I don't believe.
I have, aside from the sexual desire part.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
You know, aside from being attracted to men, which I'm not, which of course, you know, to sound PC in today's day, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
You know, I love women. I love breasts. Right. I love women.
Right. I'm convinced.
But I have every other characteristic of a stereotypical, what they say, is a gay man.
Uh-huh. Do you wear heels?
No.
No, I don't either.
But like, I mean, and I probably shouldn't even say that. That's probably kind of... Because no. Gay guy, because
the, you know what? You know what? I think what you're trying to say, because
rescue me.
Oh, because I have a tinge of that too. Is that certain guys have a good amount of sensitivity.
Yeah, metrosexual, they call it.
Well, I call it sensitivity.
Sensitivity.
And that seems to be connected to a female attribute, to have some depth to you. And,
or connected to a gay person.
Yeah, I guess they would as well.
Right.
And men have this stereotypical thing where I want to hunt and shoot, and I just want to drink beer and watch people knock the crap out
Let's
of each other.
Let's go shoot pool.
Yeah. And so, but there are some guys, such as myself and yourself, I suppose, who have more depth to them than that. So I think that's what you're referring to. And I'm proud of it.
So I should refer to myself more as a sensitive man instead of a gay man?
Yeah. Probably it's a good idea, unless you're gay and you want to be that.
No, I'm not gay.
I know you're not.
No, I'm far from gay.
I'm saying if there's a gay person listening to this, that's okay.
Yes.
Which, that's the Seinfeld episode. There's nothing wrong with
that. There's nothing, right.
Well, certainly not.
There's certainly nothing wrong with
being gay. Right. My mother was gay.
Really?
No.
You know what? I have a guy that works for me, and he's kind of a homophobe in a way. And, well, and to me, when you stress that all the time, I think you're actually, because you
doth protest too much.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have a very good gay friend. I think you know him, Chris.
Yes.
Chris Capone.
Yes.
He's very flamboyant.
And he's, interestingly enough, he is indeed related to the Capone.
He is Al Capone's grandson. Mm-hmm. I actually met him 15 or so years ago, when he retained me to actually help investigate what we later proved to be true, that he is an ancestor of Al Capone, and he changed his name. His name was Knight at the time, but he's openly gay, and he is gay as gay can be. He is. If you look up Queen in the dictionary, gay Queen. Yeah. He fits that image, you know. There are gay guys that play sports and that are macho. There's all different types.
But that's because he's comfortable in that place.
But I think there is some sort of a genetic thing with certain gay men.
I don't know.
Like I know a lot of gay guys that are very flamboyant. Mm-hmm. Overly flamboyant. Mm-hmm. If you meet an overly flamboyant person, you know that typically they're.
But have you met men that are overly men?
Yes.
Who just act like they have no concept of anything beyond ape tendencies.
Right. Yeah.
So
I guess you're right.
That's the opposite.
I guess you're right. All right. Yeah. And again, I'm not put me in my place.
Yeah.
But I guess my whole point with Chris is that I enjoy him as a friend because he boosts me up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't take offense when he tells me I'm good looking and he wants to sleep with me. I take it as a compliment.
And you should.
If I'm feeling very insecure about myself on any given day, or if I'm having a bad hair day, or if I feel a little flabby, I call Chris up.
Yeah.
He tells me all these dirty things he wants to do to me, and I feel like a better human being.
All right. I don't know who's benefiting from this, but good. That's good. Yeah, why not? As long as he doesn't act upon it, as far as you're concerned.
No, it's
but it's a compliment nonetheless.
That's my point.
But see, guys aren't supposed to do that. If you're a macho guy, you would never say
if that. If I told, like, I get together once a year with all my high school buddies, and if I you know, even mention this in front of them, I will be lambasted. Now, I'll give you an example. Yesterday on Facebook, I put a post out there, and sometimes I don't even realize what I'm saying. Now, when I was walking into the studio today, I told you, you said that I look stiff and sore, and I told you it's from rolling, and you took your second to understand. You didn't know what it was, but you know, I'm a wrestling coach, and I enjoy the martial arts, and I've trained and I've fought, and Ron's been involved in some of that, but it's called rolling. Jiu-jitsu is called rolling. So you say to someone, it's a slang term, I guess, you want to go roll. So I put a post yesterday on Facebook because I have a lot of friends that are ex-wrestlers. I put a post out there just saying, I wasn't even thinking.
Yeah, here we go.
I go, if anyone's interested in rolling, I'm looking for if any men are interested in rolling, you know, 30 plus, you know, hit me up.
Yeah, I would, not knowing at the time what rolling was, I would find that to be something else.
But then I wrote, you know, the new school, the Fight Zones, opened up in our town.
Which you think should have explained it.
Yes.
But probably
so
didn't.
So I got more compliments from, like, female friends, you know, that are saying, really? You know, then I had guys that were texting.
It's about time, Mark.
I had guys that were texting. All my high school buddies were crapping on me. And to the point where I actually took the post down.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I meant it serious. I just said...
It looked like a
Craigslist ad, and I was looking for men 30 years and up to roll around with.
Sounds like that's what it was. But but no. So there you go. That's... fine.
It's kind of like when I advertised 1 year in the Pink Pages.
Yes.
The Pink Pages is a gay and lesbian magazine, a newspaper magazine, online presence.
Yeah.
And they came to me and asked if I'd advertise.
Mm-hmm.
So me being the, you know, gay and lesbian friendly man that I am, said, sure, I'll do an ad in there.
Why not?
And also knowing that based on my experience, the gay and lesbian community is cooler in some respects, in the heterosexual community.
Very much so. Now, you know, I do wedding videos on weekends, and I have also advertised in that particular periodical, and because they get married too now, so that's wonderful, and they are very pleasurable to work with.
They seem to have better senses of humor. They're more comfortable in their skin when they're out.
Absolutely.
They have a better sense of, you know, better sense of humor, like I said. So I put an ad, I'm like, you know what? They'll get this.
Yeah.
And I put an ad in the paper.
Uh-oh.
And I put On The Mark Investigations, best dick in town.
Okay.
Here to service you in Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
Oh, and
with my headshot, a picture of me, and I'm not a bad looking guy.
Right. Okay. In your opinion. So
yes, in my opinion.
So may I ask how this went over?
I got hit on a lot, and I got a lot of phone calls. Best dick in town, huh?
Any work?
I actually picked up one lawyer.
I shouldn't say any jobs, but that's not what
I picked up one lawyer who actually called me, whose best friend was gay and thought it was funny.
Okay.
And she's since been a longtime client.
So it did work.
So the advertising dollar that I spent paid for itself.
Yeah.
But I also could have had a lot of dates if I wanted to.
Well, it's a very creative ad that you put together. But perhaps it's interesting how... what you do elicits the wrong thing all the time.
Now, the Department of State Police who licensed me, they may not be too...
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Whose problem is that at that point?
You got the whole here to service you in mass and... service. I'm a professional service. I'm not going to service you, but...
No. I mean, it could be very funny, or it could be maybe someone would say, wow.
But I wouldn't put that in the Boston Herald.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
I put that in the Pink Pages because it's a gay and lesbian.
Well, that might even be more consequential that you did that because that was more specifically targeted toward. So maybe that worked even less.
I thought they'd get a kick out of it.
I did. I got a kick. I think that's very funny, but I can understand how you can see both sides of that coin.
Yeah, my mouth often gets me in trouble that way. You know,
perhaps so.
Well,
that's why you do radio.
It's that whole PC argument that we have, and
the personal computer argument.
Personal computer.
Right. See there again, two meanings.
Right.
See,
is that what PC mean? People hear PC and people think it means personal computer.
I did. I mean, I understood what you were saying.
To me, it means personal care because I have disabled boys.
Yeah, but that's not as. A PC would be, I think it's equal there.
My recent guilty pleasure, aside from watching my Johnny Carsons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, let me go say something about Johnny Carson, and then I'll say something about my new guilty pleasure that has to do with PC, is that I watched an episode of Carson yesterday, and it was 6 months before she died, and what a bitch. Betty Davis was on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And she was 80 when she was on. She looked like she was 130.
Yeah.
80 year olds nowadays, look great. And my wife works in a nursing facility, and, mm-hmm. and she says that it's all changing where the people older are.
I think it has to do with smoking.
She smokes so much.
Yeah.
But she was on And she was just, you know, Johnny was kissing her. Yeah. Johnny was kissing her rear end, but she acts so, she was acting so like royal. And,
aloof. That would be the word.
Like, and she had the accent.
Correct. And, correct. That was her thing.
But if you Googled her, mm-hmm. do you know where she was from?
No.
Lowell, Mass.
Get out.
Yes.
So where did this come from?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like Lowell, Mass. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Hmm. You know who also was from Lowell, Mass? Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon, yeah.
So anyway, so aside from watching that, I've been taping, and the only reason I started taping it, because I watched a documentary on Norman Lear.
Yes.
Great documentary. He's still alive. He's 94 years old.
That's fantastic.
And do you like All in the Family, Archie Bunker?
I still don't.
You still don't like it?
I still don't like it.
How come?
Because I thought it was, for that time, it was too in your face, too raw. Yeah. And I thought that they were making fun of...
Everybody?
Yeah, but it was I didn't find it funny. I thought it was more of a social lesson than it was a comedy show. And yeah. I didn't find it funny.
Big activist. He was. You know, he gave up Hollywood to kind of go into activism and all that.
I know. This is kind of the opposite. But no, I never enjoyed the show. I never thought it was funny. And I didn't appreciate being lectured to on a weekly basis. No.
Interesting. No. Yeah, I...
And his wife playing the role of stupid.
Yeah.
I thought that was demeaning. Right. I thought there was a lot of demeaning stuff going on.
Well, he was demeaning, but it broke a lot of barriers.
Don't know about that.
He had such a difficult time, he was saying, getting half that stuff through the network sensors and all that. And he said he fought with Carol O'Connor every script because he was an ultra-liberal and he hated the dialogue.
Yeah.
But he pulled it off.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure did.
I don't know. I've been watching it lately.
I've never cared for it.
The guy was a TV genius.
Which one?
Norman Lear.
Norman Lear, yeah.
Good Times, Maude.
Yeah.
You know, even Maude, that was like one of the first sitcoms that featured a woman, you know, an independent woman. And I believe she was a divorced woman. And,
right.
There were a lot of firsts back then that in today's day, they don't even go down those roads anymore.
They don't have to. They already went down those roads. We're way beyond those roads now.
Right.
See, what bothers me about today's television in prime time is... I mean, I like edgy and that kind of stuff, but I think these shows go for the cheap thing.
Yeah.
Ass is mentioned continually. Everything is sexual.
Right.
We're just on the verge of using the F word and the SH word. It just gets too loose to me. I kind of love the days when people had more respect for each other and were kind of careful in that venue. Yeah. What you do in your house is fine. You do what you care to do. But television in public, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And and just to cap this off, that's why I was so upset about this election, because we've elected somebody who is a piece of dirt. And I think that is indicative of where we're going and what this country, a lot of them really wanted. So, but anyway, I didn't get political.
that's one thing I don't touch. I'm a bipartisan dick.
Yeah. Well, that's nice to know.
And, right. You know what? I don't go down politics. I don't go down political roads. I won't tell anyone who I supported or didn't support or what my views or values are, because I own a business and I run a business. And
it's true.
And I notice on social media, if you say something the wrong way to anyone, they will take it personal. They will delete you.
The country is very divided right now.
Right.
But with what I do, and I have to.
Well, it's your job to stress your opinion that way. But I, as a businessman, I don't go down those
roads. You're very smart.
But
you're very smart.
Yeah, I just think people, I guess, today aren't considerate enough, okay? So you may have views or opinions, but you don't have to, you know, and it's smart to be politically correct, I guess, in some extent, but you shouldn't be afraid to give your opinion. But when you give your opinion, you should do it in a way where you try not to offend people too much.
Yeah, but the problem is that the person whom you voted for...
I'm not talking politics. No, I'm just talking people in general to each other.
Okay, fine. But as an example, they've elected a president who did that, who was a bully, who did offend, call people names, branded them with ugly names, became vindictive. So now it's tough for the country to have something to look up to.
Right.
And that's my problem.
But I'm not standing up for him by any means. Mm. But
he was chosen,
but you have,
not by
right,
popular, but
right,
he was chosen.
But you have to admit that that a lot of things often that a lot of things that are people are said can, I'm not saying that he was taken out of context, but when you give an interview or you say something, you know, you can make anyone look bad. You know, you could take bits and pieces of this podcast and make me seem a certain way that I'm not. So people, you know, in today's day, people manipulate the media and manipulate.
No, but in his case, that was the full context. It wasn't chosen. It was exactly what was said. Mark, pleasure.
Yes, pleasure. I saw him once in New York.
That's nice.
I was walking by FAO Schwartz, and he got out of his limousine.
His royal limousine.
Yeah. I just happened to happened to get out. This is 15 years ago.
Good. That's a thrill and a half.
You know, and hey, it is what it is. Now he's going to have Mitt Romney as his Secretary of State.
Well, that would be okay.
I will say that he seems like he's aligning himself. You know, I'm not too hip on this Pence guy. He seems like to be an extremely right wing radical.
Correct.
He's kind of scary.
Yep.
But he did just put someone Secretary of Defense, right? Who's actually a military. First time we've ever had a military guy in how many years?
Yeah.
So maybe that you know, I don't know. He's obviously just a face.
I don't believe he knows what he's doing.
He's got to have people around him.
He does, but he's choosing all the people that he claimed he was against. Because
do you find Romney hypocritical for even taking these meetings after all the stuff that was said?
I did at first, but then I realized that, and Romney said this, or one of his people did, and I agreed with it. If Romney disagrees with what Trump is doing, you can't have an impact if you're not in the game.
Right.
So if you're in
the game, keep your enemies close type deal.
Sort of. If you're just going to comment from outside, that's one thing. If you're in it, and then you comment, that's more effective. So I get that. I think that's a good idea. You have to. It's a game, man. You have to play the game.
Yeah.
And if you want to change,
I met
Mitt.
I spent a weekend with Mitt at the Chatham Bars Inn, which is one of the most expensive resorts in the country.
Was it because of the gay article?
It was because of the gay article. No, it's when I ran for state rep back in the day.
He was on my radio show twice.
Right, in Brockton. He came into Brockton studio,
and there was an incident.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, he does have nice hair.
Well, he's better than what's around at this point. But it was not a favorable run-in that I had with this man.
I love the fact that you have your opinion, and it's that's what's great about this world. And you know, I try to tell my daughter this, and my daughter's one of the people that was, she's 23 and she was affected immensely by this election, and we've had many discussions over it.
Yeah.
My point was, you know, it's okay to have your opinions, but I think people, you know, are taking people's opinions overboard. Like, you shouldn't like not be friends with someone or write them off or hate them or delete them if, you know, if someone has a different opinion of you. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person if you have an opinion.
No, it doesn't. But if that person tends to rub it in,
right,
or to make that their only topic of conversation, that's a lack of respect, because that person knows that you are affected by this.
That's where consideration comes in.
Correct.
You know?
Everything would be fine.
Yeah.
Look, everybody's different.
Yeah.
Some people are opposite.
Yeah.
But yes, if you respect and you consider, then we all get along. That's why the country's broken, and I hope that it gets back together because of that very thing that you said.
Right.
That's what would do it, respect.
I actually said something that was actually made sense.
Good way of ending this thing, too.
Yeah. Well, on that note, thanks, Ron, for having me.
Okay, and Mark will be back soon again.
Yes.
Until then, we wish you peace.